Hello everyone. Today is January the 11th. Today, I wanted to talk about, before I get into what my topic and my discussion will be about on this episode, I hope everybody is in good health. I hope everybody has had a blessed and prosperous day this far. I hope everybody is in their right mind, because I know that every day can be challenging when you're facing different things. So I hope that I can really minister to someone's soul or just be a help in a time of need. You never know why, you know, some people talk about the things that they talk about or they say what they say. And sometimes you never know why it was just meant for you to hear certain things. So I did want to make sure that my greetings was respectfully to all of you that's under the sound of my voice. It is now 4:40 and I wanted to talk about, soul ties. And I had three different topics from different people that they have asked me to, you know, do a episode about, but I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. My fiance had gave me one, and then there was two other people that had mentioned, you know, some things to me. But I don't just do, you know, episodes just because. I'm always spirit led. I have to make sure that I pray before I do it, before I speak, because I never want it to just be a flesh self thing. I always want God to get the glory out of any and everything that I do, especially if it can benefit somebody else. So with that being said, soul tie. Well, first and foremost, how many of you actually have a soul tie, like currently have a soul tie, or if you actually had one before, how did you get out of it? You know, I would like some feedback concerning this particular topic, because it can get deep, you know. And not only that, but it's very helpful to understand how soul ties, you know, are formed, and how they can be broken if that's something that, you know, people struggle with. You know, the Bible speaks of what is today known as a soul tie. And in the Bible, it doesn't really use the word soul tie, but it speaks of them when it talks about souls being knit together, becoming one flesh, etc. You know, and a soul tie can serve many functions, but in simple forms. You know, it ties two souls together in the spiritual realm. And soul ties between married couples draw them together like magnets, while soul ties between fornicators can draw a beaten and abused woman to the man, which in the natural realm she would hate and run from. But instead she runs to him, even though he doesn't love her and treats her like, you know, crap. And the demonic world, unholy soul ties can serve as bridges between two people to pass demonic garbage through. And, you know, I have helped people before break free from a downright awful soul tie. You know, a lot of people have visitations from demons all the time due to ungodly soul ties that we have with people. And it can be man and man, woman and woman, man and woman. And, you know, other soul ties can do things such as allow one person to manipulate and control another person, and the other person is unaware to what is going on or knows what is going on, but for no reason allow it to continue. You know, I believe there are other ways which soul ties are formed, but, you know, some examples I can give you as far as sexual relations. And you can find this in Ephesians 5 and 31. And it speaks about how godly soul ties are formed when a couple are married. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. That's a soul tie. And then you can have like close relationship soul ties. And then you can have vows and commitment soul ties. But I think just by listening to people that I have spoken to, you know, recently about soul ties, a lot of people struggle with having that soul tie with someone that they actually want to break free from, and they don't want to be in it. And, you know, with that saying, it's kind of hard when, how can I say it? It's like so easy for people to say, just leave. You understand what I'm saying? If people had that willpower to just get up and go, we wouldn't have soul ties. It wouldn't be a such thing. But because the way God has created people in hearts and love and how everything is just tied together, it's not that simple. So with that being said, I had a soul tie before, and mine wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a marriage soul tie that I'm referring to, even though I was married before. But this particular soul tie, I actually was trying to run away from. I did not want the soul tie. And I understood that it was a soul tie because I had all of the signs and everything that I needed to know that was not healthy for me. It was in front of me and it was not healthy for me, but I refused to break free from it. I refused to do what was necessary to actually be made free. And it's a difference when you want to, you know, when you say set me free from something, or I want to be made free from something, there's a difference, you know. And I was running to the individual, you know, I kept running to that thing that was not good for me. And I couldn't understand the control or that power that that individual had over me, but it was demonic. And that goes back to what I was saying previously. You know, you have to understand first and foremost what type of soul tie that you're dealing with. Because some people love soul ties. Like the soul tie that I feel like I'm in right now, because I'm in a soul tie again, but it's a healthy one. It's a good one. And it's one that I myself don't ever want to let go. And it's ordained. It has been orchestrated by God. And that's another difference. So with that being said, I was able to be made free from that soul tie with an individual by fasting and by praying. And I had to understand that I could no longer go for the abuse. I could no longer accept it. And it was either, you keep running to this thing that's not good for you, and the end results is not going to be what you expect it to be. So I started to pray, you know, and I started to fast. And I asked God to take the blindfold off of my eyes and allow me to see reality. Allow me to really see what's in front of me, because I was only seeing the picture that was painted by the enemy. And the picture that was painted was a perfect masterpiece. And it was something that I was like, oh, this is the ideal. You know, this is dope. This is what I want. You know, this is fascinating. But that picture really was not what I thought it was. You know, the colors that I seen really didn't even exist. You know, the people that was in the photos really didn't exist. The faces was really not familiar once God took the blindfolds off of my eyes. And I hope y'all following me and understanding where I come from. And by all means, if I ever say anything in my episodes and you have a lack of understanding, it's okay to reach out to me and be like, what did you mean when you said such and such? Like, I'm here to answer any questions, concerns, or whatever. But, you know, when I realized I was in a soul tie and it was toxic, it was very unhealthy for me. I prayed, I fast. I started making sure that when I was in church, I wasn't just sitting in church, but I was taking heed to the message. And not only did I take, you know, heed by writing notes, but I applied the things that was necessary and beneficial to my circumstances and the things that I was dealing with in this soul tie. And once I had asked God to remove the blindfolds off of my eyes, you know, because first you have to admit that, you know, you're a mess. You have to admit that something is wrong and what's in front of me is not normal. It's very abnormal. And I know that love is not supposed to be this way, because I know what God say love is about. And what I'm going through with this particular individual, love ain't got nothing to do with this, you know? So first you have to be real with yourself, especially when you want to break free from a soul tie. You can't play mind games with yourself or another individual. So I came to all of that realization, and, you know, pretty much after that, it went from things started to disgust me. The individual started to be a turnoff for me. Everything about this particular individual turned me off. I was seeing things for what it really were. The words did not soothe me anymore when they were wrong. The abuse was no longer tolerated. I did not think that the abuse meant love, because I was so busy wrapped up into the soul tie that when I was being abused mentally, I had to tell my mind that it meant, oh, this individual loved me. And even though we know what abuse is, okay, we know what abuse is. We know that it's a bad effect, you know, or for a bad purpose. And in my mind, I was saying, you know, this individual loves me, you know, and that's why they do the things that they do. I started making excuses for the wrong that the individual was doing to me, you know, and everything was just a mess. And when the blindfolds was taken off of my eyes and I was able to see the right picture, the clear picture, the face became familiar, but that family that I seen in the picture, it no longer, you know, it wasn't supposed to be that, you know, I understood things for what it was. And, pretty much after that, you know, as months went by, and I think even a year probably went by, I can't really remember that far back. But what I do remember is that God made me free from that soul tie. He really made me free. He made my mind free from the things that it was subjected to and the things that it was believing and convinced to believe that was not true. And, you know, with that being said, I've always told myself, and I have always asked God, once he made me free from that soul tie, to keep the blindfolds off, because when I get involved with someone else, I want to make sure that if it become a soul tie, because not every relationship requires a soul tie. Not everybody have soul ties or even have experienced a soul tie. But I did tell God that when I get into another relationship or involved with any type of man or whoever, relationships with the woman, you know, as far as friendships or whatever, you know, allow my blindfolds to stay off so that I can see, so that I wouldn't allow myself to fall subjected to the things that do not mean me any good. So, when I say that I am in a soul tie now, I know that I am, and it's a healthy one, because for one, the folds are off. I can see. I'm not blind. Even if an individual or this particular individual try to do things that's not right, I can't be tricked. You know, I don't fall subjected to the trickery or the manipulation or the games that's being played. And I'm not saying that's what I experience now, because I don't on any levels. But, you know, I am able to see, you know, and the soul tie that I am connected in, I don't want to let it go because I love it. You know, to have this beautiful unity with someone or connection with someone, and you feel like you just stuck together, it's a beautiful thing. Not all soul ties have to be bad. Not all soul ties have to be unhealthy. But it's really, how can I say it? Sometimes it can be good and sometimes it can be bad. And for the ones that's in a good soul tie, you know, I want to hear what makes your soul tie good with the person that you are with. You know, connecting, is it connecting with someone sexually or with that person's spirit, whether it's good or bad? Because it's really, to me, it's always like a spirit thing. I don't really think that the soul ties have anything to do too much with the flesh. You know, people might say it comes for, you know, comes from sex and stuff like that. But I may agree to disagree with people on that one. But when your soul is in tune with the other person, when I know what your heart is speaking and I know what your thoughts are before you even speak the words that's coming out of your mouth, when I can feel your energy without you telling me what mood you in, how you feeling. You know, I can go a day without talking to my fiance, which I prefer not to, but given the circumstances is what it is, I can go a day without talking to him and vice versa. And if I find myself to be in a mood where I'm depressed or stressed out and it's just my energy is off, you know, sometimes he will call me or he'll text me or email me and tell me, you know, baby, such and such and such and such, you know, and it's like he in my head, you know, and I'd be like, he just read my heart, you know, like, baby, what are you doing? Like, how did you know that, you know? And that's just that spiritual connection that you have with someone, you know, and that's the soul tie that I deal with now, you know, and it's a great one. It's a beautiful one. And I can really go on and on and on, but I don't want to really make this too much about me. Because I really can go on and on and on and on about, you know, me and my fiance and the relationship that we have with this soul tie. But I really wanted to talk about it, you know. And for the ones that's dealing with soul ties, when it comes to family, you know, sometimes friends, you know, when you in friendships for a lengthy time, but you know that you're not getting that energy, or that energy is not being reciprocated on both ends, because this person is doing one thing and you feel like you're doing more than what the next friend is doing, and y'all not equal. Things it's not the same, you know. And sometimes when you just see that things are wrong in relationships, situationships, or friendships, sometimes because of the length of time that you have known an individual, you know, or have been involved with someone, you feel like you just all in, you just tied to that one, you know, and that's just a trick of the enemy, because you have to understand that anything that you want to end, it can end. Okay, you have to have willpower. You have to be strong. And if you're not strong and you're weak and you're vulnerable, you have to pray and ask God to give you that strength. You got to ask God for the strength, because you can talk about your problems and your situations that you are going through with certain people, but if you're not praying to the one that can actually really literally fix the situation, which is God himself, then I really don't know too much what else to tell you. Like, you have to pray for strength. And when you get strength, you get willpower. And when you get willpower, you get deliverance. And when you get deliverance, you're made free. And when you're made free, you don't have a soul tie with no one. I don't care how long I have known you, how long we have been in a relationship with each other. It's toxic. It means me no good. It means you no good, and you have to get out of it. Like, soul ties can really be the death of some people. You know, I have heard about people being so caught up in these soul ties where that it is some crazy stuff that transpire. You know, people go crazy mentally behind soul ties. You know, so you really have to be careful with that, and you have to pray and ask God to send you someone that's heaven sent. You know, because a lot of times people that even come in our lives is not always heavenly sent. Sometimes those people, you know, can just be pure demonic, you know, and they would dress it up and make it real for people when they're not real with themselves. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty much what I can, you know, speak on concerning soul ties. And if it's something that I left out, then I will come back and I will speak on it. But I think I really spoke on the things that, you know, I addressed a lot of things that the people wanted to hear, that, you know, that they were asking me about. You know, it's everybody, again, do not experience soul ties. But if you find yourself being in a soul tie with someone, and you know it's a soul tie because you know everything is bad, that person is demonic, that person is wrong for you, they're not good. It's just bad. It's no good. It's nothing good. You know, and the enemy could dress it up and make it real, make it pretty, make it ideal. But you know in the back of your mind that you are in a soul tie that needs to be broken. And the only person that can break it is God. You cannot break a soul tie on your own unless you get that strength that you need and that willpower. And God will have to be the one that supply that. Your mama can't. Your father can't. His mom, her brothers, her sisters. It's not people. Because it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. If it was something that we can do on our own, then like I said, we wouldn't even be wrapped up in these soul ties. So again, stop running to the problem. Stop running to the problem and run away from it. Run away from it. Sometimes we as people, we have to really get emotions out of the way and be logic. We have to be logic. And we can really save ourselves a lot of, you know, hurt. We can avoid a lot of pain and suffering if we really do what's necessary, even if it hurt us. Because your soul tie that's unhealthy for you is already hurting you. So how are you going to hurt even more by running away from the soul tie instead of running to it? How more can you hurt? Because if anybody went through anything like I did, I think the best thing I ever did was ran away from it. And that's the honest God truth. It is what it is. I can't sugarcoat it. Can't dress it up. Can't make it real. It is what it is, you know. But for those that's in soul ties with a beautiful individual like I am now, you know, and both people are on the same page and everything is being reciprocated and, you know, the energy is the same and the desires of the hearts are beating the same, then you're good, you know. But if that person is pulling away and that person pulling away, this person doing this and ain't, no, let it go. Let it go. Either let it go or it's going to let you go. Eventually, a soul tie can release you. That individual can release you. That's another way out. Because that individual can release you, but then it's going to go to the next victim. Just don't be the victim. Don't be the victim. Let it go. I hope I, you know, these 25 minutes or so on that I have spoke about soul ties. I really hope that it helps somebody. Because like I said, at the end of the day, this is not about me, really. It's to help somebody. It's to help people. You know, I really do hope and pray that it really, somebody has taken heed to the things that I have been through that I can actually help somebody else not go through, if that makes sense. So I pray that everybody has a blessed, prosperous day and night. And I pray that, you know, the death angels pass everybody by as they sleep on tonight. And yeah, that's just pretty much it. Anybody have any feedback, please feel free to talk to me about it, address it, constructive criticism, whatever. I am very open-minded, and I do not let, you know, constructive criticism beat me down. You know, wise people accept constructive criticism. It's wisdom. So, yeah, I'm open to the feedback. Have a good day.
Hello, hello. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming out to listen to tonight's episode. This topic was actually brought to my attention from an anonymous. Someone wanted me to discuss this particular topic, and it's actually a great topic. So, I actually wanted to go ahead and get into it a little quickly because I do have some things that I needed to do. So, it's going to be, why do women date dope boys? What's so fascinated about it? Well, honestly, it was a little hard topic for me, honestly, because me personally, I can't recall ever dating one. If I did, he wasn't like major in the game, so they say, you know. Yeah, he definitely won't major in the game. None of mine was major in the game. So, but my opinion, why I, me personally, never seem to be, you know, too fond of dating a dope boy was because I love, you know, mine's at home. I'm clingy a little, you know, and at the end of the day, to me, I really, really do feel like, it's a turn off because it only really leads to one or two things if he don't have a plan. And majority of the time, it's very rare that a man sell drugs without a plan. I'm always seeing them, you know, sell it and sell it and sell it until they locked up or until God call them home. And that's just, you know, what it is. I have never met somebody that actually had a plan to reach a certain, goal or save up a lot of money, you know what I'm saying, and buy what they wanted, get a 9-to-5, or take a career route and go from there. That's just me. I never seen it happen. So, it's just never been my thing. And then not even only that, but a lot of women have kids. What are you demonstrating? I mean, honestly though, what are you demonstrating? It's like I said in my intro, everything is just so backwards these days. Like, what are you teaching your son, honestly? You teaching your son how to get money by selling dope? Like, it's just so backwards. I just don't. Some things I just don't get. And then, it's a respect thing. If you have a daughter, that's not what you want your daughter to go after. If you're a male or if you're a female, because you got females that sell dope, but the topic was, why do women date, dope boys? And it's a turn on for some women. To me, it's a turn on for some women when, their guy name is ringing bells out here, it's popular, It's yeah, it's really not a big thing or a big deal for me. It's not a hyper for me. I prefer a 9-to-5. You come home, and we just be a family. And at the end of the day, I do understand that, a lot of people are felons out here. And I seen somebody had put up a status on Facebook not too long ago. One mistake can change your life, and that's true. So I understand the struggle. I didn't have a silver spoon all the time in my mouth, so I definitely understand the struggle when it comes to why people do what they do. I understand it's a story behind every action. So don't get me wrong, because I'm not being judgmental. It's just a preference. It's what you like and what you don't like. It's your type. But it's always a choice out here, and it's always a way, And sometimes you have to step out of your comfort zone even when you don't want to. And I think when it comes to men, they fight so much with an ego. Pride is ignorance. Pride is really ignorance. And it would destroy you because men just live off of these egos. They do. They have to have this image to maintain. And sometimes it can just cost them their lives to maintain it. And with the mindset of some women who thrive off of being turned on by these men that's dope boys, it makes it even harder for some guys to just, let go of these egos and just be comfortable in the skin that they're in, getting a 9-to-5, flipping a burger, or working at the corner store, or some simple. I can't think of, some simple jobs right now, but you get my point. Sometimes women have to make things less complicated for men, so that men can be comfortable with being men and not trying to live this lavish lifestyle that they can't even afford sometimes. It's just okay to be dry sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Just being comfortable. You don't always have to just have way more than what you need. Greed. You don't always have to have way more. You can just be blessed by having enough. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and sometimes, you know, when guys out here, you know, the ones that's these dope boys that can't get jobs, you know, I would really hope that if anybody is out here selling drugs or whatever, or if you a dope boy, I really hope it's because you a felony. I mean, you have a felony on your record and you're a felon and you can't get a job. I mean, 'cause if you out here and you got a diploma and you got a degree, or you know, you have what it takes to go out here and get yourself together or get what you're capable of getting, or you have the opportunity that the next man don't have, and you want to sell drugs just because you think it's popular, then yeah, you're an idiot. You in my baby voice, as he would say, you a whole dub. You in Feedy's voice, you a whole dub. Because no, absolutely not, absolutely not. Now that's idiotic to me. I mean, and I'm not justifying the ones that's just out here just being a dope boy either, but I understand the story behind some men that just can't get jobs. I mean, a man that don't work don't eat. So I get it. You got to get some money in your pocket, especially if you just have children. You got to. You just have to. But like I said, you have a choice. If Taco Bell have a sign saying we're hiring, you got to do what you have to do. If DTLR, you wear shoes, you wear the J's that come out, go in there and sell some shoes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I just don't feel like it's, you know, it's smart and it's wise for men to just be subjected to throw their life away or lose their freedom behind some money. I just think that's foolish, you know. And I have been in situations where I put myself in situations where I'm doing stuff to lose my freedom. So I'm speaking from experience. Like, no, nothing is worth your freedom. Nothing, nothing at all. I mean, you only get one life to live, not behind some money, not behind some money. It's never that deep. So, me personally, it's no hype in dating a dope boy to me. I mean, I have children. Can't no dope boy live with me. I'm a boy mom of two. I have two sons. No, I'm sorry. You can't even smoke weed in my house. Nobody. You can't smoke weed in my house. No. Absolutely not. You can't even smoke it around my kids. You just can't. And I don't knock people that do. No. Absolutely not. So, no. What is that teaching my sons? That's just not the life that I want for my children. And what you hang around, you become. Whether it's your mother, your father, your sister, whatever. I mean, it's just all on your preference. And that's just what it is. And at the end of the day, it's hard, you know, going through the after fact. You know what I'm saying? Because when he get locked up, everybody's gonna hurt. You know, so you gotta think about that too. You gotta think about that too. I mean, that's a whole nother topic that we can discuss. And I definitely will have a lot to say about that. I mean, yeah. So, you know, just to touch base on that, I mean, ladies, you have to think about that. You have to be wise if you have children. You have to be wise and encourage your man. Like, pray for him. You know, pray that God change his mind and humble him. Pray that God remove the pride. I mean, because a lot of women be wanting these dope guys, But then they be wanting these men to change too. Like, y'all be trying to change these men once y'all get them. Y'all love them. Y'all love them. Y'all love their personality. Y'all love everything about this guy. But then when you realize that they're no good for you after, well, you probably know in the beginning, but when you realize how it's bringing you down and how you understand that the decision that you made by being with this type of man is not helping you, then you want to change him or try to change him or try to manipulate him into doing the things that you want him to do, and that's not going to work. Because at the end of the day, you cannot make a man do nothing that he don't want to do. And you cannot mold a man into being a man. That's just something that these women have to understand these days as well. You cannot mold a man into being a man. And I think that's something that women struggle with as well. So you just got to pick and choose wisely. And if you're going to get a dope boy, then you should just humble yourself and respect him coming in the house 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. That's his job description. Pretty much. Whoever called his phone to say, I want XYZ, he got to get up and he got to go, baby. He got to go to work. And that's just what it is. And you just have to respect that. You cannot put boundaries on that type of work. You can't. You knew what you was getting yourself into before you signed up for it. So you just have to either make a choice to deal with it and humble yourself, meaning be quiet, stop arguing about coming in the house late, picking and choosing when you want to make an argument about it. No. Don't just be happy when the Prada and then all that come in. No, ladies, y'all gotta do better. Y'all have to do better. Y'all have to do better. Y'all do. And that's why I say I'm not dealing with a dope boy, because me personally, I'm telling you right now, who coming in my house 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock? It's another day. You might as well stay where you at, baby. And if you staying where you at, you're not in a relationship, because we don't do that. We grown. We don't have sleepovers at other people's houses. No. We grown. We don't do that. No. No, absolutely not. And these are the things that comes with dating a dope boy. They run the streets. They're street runners. Hello? They're street runners. It's a part of their job description. And they be mad cool. Like, I'm not throwing no shade on no dope boys. Please, y'all don't come for me. Don't come for me, because look, I have friends, family. That's some street runners. So I'm not knocking nobody. I love y'all. Do not come for me. I'm just speaking life facts, okay? Because we have to do better. We can't beat people up every day about facts, things that we know that's just facts. We know what's going on. We can't keep beating people up. We know what's up. We got to prevent some things. Some things we can avoid. We can prevent taking ourselves through. We can. Everybody deserves better. We do. But if you gonna date a dope boy, love him. Love him. That's all I'm gonna say. Humble yourself and just love him. And just pray for him. Pray while he in them streets. Pray that God cover him and protect him and anoint some of his clothes. Put some anointing oil. Get your pastor, if y'all ladies in the church. I don't know if y'all is. But, I mean, if I was dating a dope boy, I anoint his clothes, his hat, his jewelry, his shoes. I would pray over my man. I would pray if it's a man that I'm really, really, really in love with and he's a street runner and I just have to be with this man, I would pray that God call him, you know, call him in and from the streets, that he bring him in off the streets, that he change his heart, change his mind. I wouldn't try to do it. Because then I'll mess it up. You know, I wouldn't try to manipulate him. I wouldn't badger him every day. Because you will hurt him or you will push him in the arms of another woman. Trust me, I've been there. So it's not what you do, it's how you do things. But, yeah. Most of the time, I don't believe that a lot of women is just satisfied with these dope boys that they're in a relationship with. Because, like I said, I feel like it leaves them heartbroken. I really do. I really, really do. The only time I really see couples that's really, really happy with a dope boy is if she's a dope girl herself. They make the best couples. I'm just being honest. Them two, they make the best couples. I've seen it with my own eyes. Because they understand the vibes. You know, they're compatible. They get it. But as I stated, I was going to make this episode really quick because there's not really too much I can speak on because I've actually never dated a dope boy. And I never will. I never, ever, ever will. So, you know, to each his own. I don't knock a woman that do. I don't talk down on any woman that do. It's just not my preference. My preference for those that do, kudos to you, but I don't see the hype. I don't see the hype. I mean, it might pay the bills, but I don't see the hype. I love mine at home. It'll leave me heartbroken. Honestly, you're not coming in my house that time of night. The phone ringing and all that is just too much for my mental. It's just too much. We got too much other stuff to focus on. Like, it's too much of a workload. But that's tonight's episode. I hope you can take what you need and leave what you don't need. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope you guys return for the next episode. If you have any topics, hit me up. And I will make a discussion. Toodles.